some of you may remember last summer when I mistakenly mentioned the singing of Handel's Messiah at UVA. Well, it's happened again. It was last week. I had two Zoom meetings at 7 p.m. on the night that the Messiah singing was, and one of them I was leading and couldn't exactly not show up for. So I didn't get to go and participate. But the wonderful, powerful words of today's Isaiah reading are what Messiah's words are taken from. And, you know, the promise that they offer is that as we wait for the end of our sufferings, God will care for us like a mother sheep. That just brings to mind that glorious passage from Handel's Messiah. And if you can hear the music in your mind while I read this, definitely listen to the music. He shall feed his flocks like a shepherd and gather them into his bosom. Just reading those words calms me down. My hope for this Advent season 2023 is that those who are in war-torn countries and are the unwilling pawns of unjust governments can hear those words and the melody that accompanies them in their minds and believe that our Advent of waiting for the Savior's birth will bring lasting peace to this world. The second Sunday of Advent introduces us very quickly, since it's the very beginning of Mark, to John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, either of which is totally appropriate, whose mother was either a dear friend or a cousin of Mary, Jesus' mother. Some folks don't know that, haven't gotten that association. It's that relationship between those two women I'd like to explore today, since the third Sunday of Advent is Mary Sunday, when in most churches a pink candle is lit to remember Mary and her willingness to serve. Hopefully you can still hear me. My stole shows Mary and Elizabeth facing each other at the very end of my stole, both of them pregnant. And to me, it is so beautiful in its simplicity and in the fact that they're in two different stages of pregnancy, and yet they were drawn to each other. So let's talk about what drew them together. Elizabeth, depicted on one side of my stole, became pregnant by Zechariah, her husband of many years, just as ancient Hebrew scriptures said it would happen. Zechariah was a priest in the temple, and he was serving God in the temple because it was the week of the month set aside for his particular order of priests to serve. He was chosen by lot to be the priest that entered the sanctuary of God and burned incense, which was the highest honor that any of those priests, it was the highest job that they could have chosen. While the incense was being burned, a crowd of believers stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken with fear. I can only imagine what that would have felt like. You're in a room by yourself and all of a sudden there's an angel. Yeah, that would scare the socks off of you. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son. And you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch any wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you don't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will be certainly fulfilled at the proper time." This reading from the New Living Translation helps us to better understand John's parentage and how his birth came to be. And for the two of them, Zechariah and Elizabeth, a really long 9 months. Having heard this, if you will, imagine what Elizabeth's reaction was when Zechariah came home from the temple. Imagine being Elizabeth, being in that tent, opening the tent flap when you heard footsteps, seeing Zechariah's head bobbing up and down as he's coming towards you along the path. Imagine Elizabeth's face when she asked about why he was smiling so broadly. And when he threw his arms around her the way he had when they were betrothed. Imagine their joy. Imagine their joy. When Zechariah, with tears of joy streaming down his face, touched her stomach and nodded over and over. Zechariah flapped his arms in the air as if to mimic an angel's flight and kissed his wife to help her to understand. The next passage in Luke states, "After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. She said, 'This is what the Lord has done for me.' When he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people. Disgrace. A lot of people don't realize that in that time, women's basic job was to bear children, and preferably male children. That could be lineage for them. And if a woman were unable to become pregnant, she was looked on as being somehow defective. They didn't look at men and say, "You might be defective." They just said it was the women that were defective. Remember when Sarai couldn't get pregnant by Abram, and she gave Hagar, her slave, to Abram so that Abram would have a son, even though it was by a lesser wife? Yet Elizabeth had persisted in her belief that she would bear Zechariah a child. And now it was happening. So you may be wondering why, if she wanted so badly to have a child with Zechariah, why was she not telling everybody? Why was she not jumping up and down and screaming and shouting? She chose to keep the news between her and Zechariah and God. Then, when Mary had conceived by the Holy Spirit, she was unable to share with anybody except Joseph. And Joseph had been advised that the betrothal should continue, even though the child Mary was carrying was not his blood relative. Mary decided in all of this to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth, because she knew from what the angel had told her that Elizabeth was pregnant. Even though Mary had not discussed her pregnancy with her parents, they understood that during a betrothal, sometimes the couple needs a little time apart, so they likely arranged transportation for Mary to travel with a caravan to the hill country. Well, Elizabeth was there, and she would have been making preparations of her own for a newborn birth. And she probably had worries of her own. Would she be able to care for a baby at her advanced age? Would Zechariah die and leave her a widow with a baby? What would happen? And then she realized that all that was happening was to fulfill scripture that had been written years and years and years ago. She knew deep inside her that her child, John, would be special, that he would be dedicated to God. Indeed, Elizabeth's son was to be the herald of the Messiah, one who was filled with the Holy Spirit from the time Elizabeth carried him. John the Baptist was to tell everyone to repent of their sins and be baptized. With all the drama of two women, one very young, likely a teenager, and one quite old, Elizabeth and Mary rejoiced at seeing each other after so long apart. And when Elizabeth saw Mary, her son leaped inside her. Mary knew that Elizabeth was pregnant because the angel told her, but Elizabeth, until that moment, did not know for certain that Jesus was carrying our Savior, Jesus Christ. Luke's account of this meeting in the New International Version reads, "In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" And so on this second Sunday of Advent, we gather in hope. We gather to hear the story of John the Baptist's parents and her cousin Mary. We gather in hope as we await the time of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. We consider all that we have heard and read about Jesus' birth being foretold in Scripture long before the time of Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah. We wait in love. We wait in joy. We wait in patience. We wait in hope for our Messiah to turn our world upside down with his life. Amen.